This battle fares like to the morning's war, when dying clouds contend with growing light. What time the shepherd, blowing of his nails, can neither call it perfect day nor night. Thou sways it this way like a mighty sea, forced by the tide to combat with the wind. Thou sways it that way like the selfsame sea, forced to retire by fury of the wind. Sometime the flood prevails, and then the wind. Now one the better, then another best, both tugging to be victors breast to breast, yet neither conqueror nor conquered. So is the equal poise of this fell war. Here on this molehill will I sit me down. To whom God will, there be the victory. For Margaret, my queen, and Clifford too, have chid me from the battle, swearing both they prosper best of all when I am thence. Would I were dead, if God's good will were so. What is in this world but grief and woe? Oh, God, methinks it were a happy life to be no better than a homely swain, sit upon a hill as I do now, to carve out dials quaintly, point by point, thereby to see the minutes how they run. How many makes the hour full complete? How many hours brings about the day? How many days will finish up the year? How many years a mortal man may live? When this is known, then to divide the times. So many hours must I tend my flock. So many hours must I take my rest. So many hours must I contemplate. So many hours must I sport myself. So many days my ewes have been with young. So many weeks ere the poor fools will e'en. So many years ere I shall shear the fleece. So minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, and years passed over to the end they were created would bring white hairs onto a quiet grave. Oh, what a life were this! How sweet, how lovely! Gives not the hawthorn bush a sweeter shade to shepherds looking on their silly sheep? And doth a rich embroidered canopy to kings that fear their subjects' treachery. Oh, yes, it doth, a thousandfold it doth. And to conclude, the shepherd's homely curds, his cold thin drink out of his leather bottle, his wonted sleep under a fresh tree's shade, all which secure and sweetly he enjoys, is far beyond the prince's delicates, his viands sparkling in a golden cup, body couched in a curious bed, when care, mistrust, and treason waits on him.
He blows the wind that profits nobody. This man, whom hand to hand I slew in fight, might be possessed of some store of crowns. And I, that haply take them from him now, why yet ere night yield both my life and them to some man else, as this dead man doth me.
Is it? Oh God, this is my father's faith, whom in this conflict I unwares have killed.
Oh, heavy times begetting such events. From London by the king was I pressed forth. My father, being the Earl of Warwick's man, came on the part of York, pressed by his master. And I, who at his hands received my life, have by my hands of life bereaved him. Pardon me, God. I knew not what I did. And pardon, Father, for I knew not thee. My tears shall wipe away these bloody marks. And no more words do they have flowed their fill.
Piteous spectacle, oh bloody times, whilst lions war and battle for their dens, poor harmless lambs abide their enmity. Weep, wretched man, I'll aid thee tear for tear, and let our hearts and eyes, like civil war, be blind with tears and break or charged with grief.
Thou, that so stoutly hath resisted me, give me thy gold, if thou hast any gold. For I have bought it with 100 blows, Well, let me see. Is this Alf Holman's face? Oh, no, no, no. It is my only son. A boy. If any life be left in thee, Scotland, I. See. See what showers arise, blown with the windy tempest on my heart. Upon thy wounds that kills mine eye and heart. Oh, pity God, this miserable age. What stratagems, how fell, how butcherly, erroneous, mutinous, and on that soul this deadly quarrel daily doth beget. Oh, boy, thy father gave thee life too soon, and hath bereft thee of thy life too late.
Woe above woe, grief more than common grief. Would that my death would stay these ruthful deeds. Pity, pity, gentle heaven, pity. The red rose and the white are on his face. The fatal colours of our striving houses. The one his purple blood right well resembles. The other his pale cheek methinks presenteth. Wither one rose and let the other flourish. If you contend, a thousand lives must wither.
How will my mother, for a father's death, take on with me and ne'er be satisfied?
How will my wife, the slaughter of my son, shed seas of tears and ne'er be satisfied?
How will the country, for these woeful chances, misthink the king and not be satisfied?
Was ever son so rude a father's death?
Was ever father so bemoaned his son?
Had ever king grieved for his subject's woe? Much is your sorrow, mine 10 times so much.
Fare thee hence, where I may weep myself.
These arms of mine shall be thy winding sheet. Thy heart, sweet boy, shall be thy sepulchre. For from mine heart thine image ne'er shall go. Thy sighing breast shall be thy funeral bell. And so obsequious will thy father be, even for the loss of thee having no more. As Priam was for all his valiant sons, but bear thee hence. And let them fight that will, for I have murdered where I should not kill.
Sad-hearted men, much overgone with care. Yes, it's a king more woeful than you are.
Fly! Father, fly! All your friends have fled, and Warwick rages like a chafed bull. Away! The death that all the bitter of you!
Ransom, my lord! Put brave post the main! He would admit to that a brace of greyhounds, having the fearful flying hair in sight, with fiery eyes sparkling for very wrath, and bloody steel grasped in their rival hands, and at our back, therefore, hence the main!
Away! The vengeance comes along with him! They say not to expostulate, make speed, or else come after. I'll away before.
Nay, take me with thee, good, sweet Exeter. Not that I fear to stay, but love to go whither the queen intends. Forward, away.